Podcast. I'm Pastor Tim. And we are excited to have you back with us. We started our new series. No, this was the second week two of our new series called Seven Churches through the beginning part of the book of Revelation. We looked at that first church in Ephesus. And so it was a great Sunday. We're looking forward to talking about it with you. So just so you know, if you're a new listener or maybe you're just, kind of catching something to get you through the week. This podcast exists to help us continue the learning. So it reminds us of what we learned on Sunday, and it prepares our hearts for what we're about to learn that following weekend. And so without further ado, I've got Pastor Rich here. And as always, Pastor Rich, as we look back on Sunday morning, that message that was given to the church of Ephesus and we began really diving into the message to those seven churches. What were some of those main things that you wanted people to take away, kind of some of those main points?
Well, the main point was simply that Jesus wants his church to love him first. Primary, numero uno, one, not 1A. And to just talk through what that means in the sense of what does it mean to love Jesus. And the format that I used to share was just taking what the letter said and just walking through it. So the outlines for these letters are going to be, these sermons are going to basically be the same. It'll start with Jesus' description of himself, what he commends them for, what he criticizes them for, his corrective plan, and then how does all that apply to us. And so that's what we walk through, and he, in doing that. But in the end of it, he says they do all these good things as a church that we would even describe as good things as a church, except they weren't doing them with the right heart and the right motivation. And that was that they would love him. His criticism is that they lost their first love. Now, I mean, what does that mean? He's the first love. It means him. It means the gospel. It means his church. It means the kingdom. It means all those things that matter to him. It even means, in a sense, many people think he means this directly, is that they lost their love for one another, even though they were doing church work together. Mm-hmm. And it's what's so interesting about that is you can kind of see all of that in understanding what they mean. So that was his concern. And his concern for the Ephesus church is the same for us as well in the church, because he's writing to these churches, but he's speaking to us as well. That's why God gave us the revelation. He put it in the Bible. And so we walked through all of that and really just tried to come down to what does it mean for us? And, really the question I ask is, do we love Jesus first, or are we just on autopilot? And where's our passion and our zeal for the Lord? And we all go through seasons where that's kind of an ebb and flowy kind of thing. I get that. And we all do that. But at the end of the day, Jesus kind of says, I'm supposed to be first. That's a non-negotiable for him. It's in living life every day for us. Sometimes we don't want it to be a non-negotiable, but we live life as if it is a non-negotiable. And so that's what we're trying to get at. And what do we do to try and think about or to rekindle or to do what he said? We said, so it's to repent, remember, repent, and to do all of those things and to apply all that stuff to life. And so that's really that I think Jesus was getting at and what I was trying to get at as well. It was interesting Sunday just because how the service is always, the points are always the same, but what you end up emphasizing tends to be a little different. And how you, just based on who you're looking at when you're talking to people out there. And so it was a little different in that sense. And so I would encourage people, if you want to get like a fuller breadth, take the time and watch both. You'll get some stuff that's similar, but you'll get a lot you'll be like, wow, there's a lot different, something different that was focused on there. We talked about service and love last week to preview. And I really kind of camped on that in the second service. Probably, I know I did it a lot more than in the first service. And a little fire, probably a little too fired up at that point. Well, you just start going and it's like, it is. We're talking about love and serving. I mean, if we love one another, then serving one another, it shouldn't be a problem. The reason we do it is because we love Jesus, and then we love one another as a reflection of that. And so that kind of stuck in my mind as we were talking and getting ready to do this the afternoon.
Yeah. And there's a quote by Matt Chandler. I was listening to a sermon that he gave not too long ago. And it just really kind of resonated with me. When we talk about wholehearted worship, I love this quote. He's not number one on your list of priorities. He's the paper you wrote your priorities on.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a thing. He's the thing. He's all that matters. His purpose, his plan, period. And that's true, right? You know, we try and say, well, you know, let's just make sure if we sprinkle anything, we sprinkle most Jesus, and then we can sprinkle the rest.
Mm-hmm.
No, he's the foundation. You kind of said something similar. We actually posted it on our social media. He doesn't want us to do things to please him. He wants you to do things because you love him. He won't settle for second place. So kind of go into that a little bit more. I guess maybe really practically, like, what are some of those ways that we put him in second place, and maybe even try and justify?
Gosh, we could take an hour in our own lives. You know, I just had lunch with a fellow pastor friend. We were talking about a few things. We hadn't gotten together in over a year. And so we had a lot to catch up on in the time we had. And we were both talking about the same thing, and just in looking at the church as a whole. Obviously, we pastor our own churches, but we're looking at just Christendom as a whole. There's a lot of good things that we do that we would define as good. They're not, we don't consider them offensive. Nobody else considers them offensive. Nobody considers them really bad things either. But when it comes to thinking about them in priority to relationship with Jesus, we tend to not do that or not think that way. We tend to think practically, pragmatically, or emotionally about a lot of things. And sometimes the Jesus part comes out. We almost take advantage of it. Okay, Jesus is going to forgive me, so I'll go ahead and blow it anyway. Blow is not the strong, that's too strong a word, but we'll make him second to keep it in line with our conversation. We don't think it's a big deal. And this is what we can just add a whole list of these things in our own lives and everybody who's listening and watching. There are things that we think aren't a big deal to God, but they are a big deal to God. And we have to wrestle with those things every day, whether it's the priority of worship, the priority of serving, the priority of loving your neighbor, the priority of reflecting those things and living a holy life as opposed to a worldly life, and negotiating what that means every single day. It really can come down to, is this a reflection of my love for Jesus, or is this just a reflection of me being what I want to be at this moment? And we live with that tension every single day. Because we don't think about it in those terms.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, we're coming up on a holiday where you definitely don't want that to be a descriptive term of you, of mm-hmm. not doing things because you have to, but because you love him, right? Not doing things to please them, right? I mean, it makes total sense for us, even when we think of Valentine's Day. Right. That's this Friday, you know? Hey, I got you these flowers so you'll get off my back. You know, or hey, you know, I got you these flowers because I have to, and I saw everybody else that was doing it, and so here's these flowers and chocolates, and yeah. I got you these things so that way, you know, people would just, and so that way you just leave me alone, and I'd be able to appease you. Well, no one wants that kind of love, right? Like nobody wants that kind of that's not even love, you know. Nobody would define that as love. That just seems so robotic. And even Caitlin is watching a show where they have arranged marriages, and you know, we're not in an arranged marriage where we have to force ourselves to love Jesus, and he's not forcing himself to love us. That's not what love is. And so, I mean, if it makes total sense for us when it comes to Valentine's Day, of like, okay, it's an outpour of the affection you have for the person, that you do things because you love them so much, that you want to be a part of them, their story. You want to do things for them because you love them, and not to get anything in return. I mean, Jesus didn't die on the cross to get something in return. You know, that okay, now you owe me, you know, which is very true. We do. We owe so much to him, our very eternal lives, for what he did. But it's about a relationship. And, you know, I love the link. It falls at a perfect time with Valentine's Day, of, Man, I love the link there. Like, you've forgotten your first love. You know, those things. I mean, think about your relationships or your marriages. You know, those things that just really drew you to your spouse. You know, that simple, exciting time. And hopefully our salvation story is the same, where we, you know, at the beginning, or when we had that first love, we didn't know dense theology. We didn't know a bunch of churchese or Christianese, and we just knew that, man, we were excited, you know, we were in the same boat as the man on the cross next to Jesus. Yep. He was just excited that he was going to be in Jesus's kingdom, and hopefully we can return to that more often.
And it's when he says, remember what you did at first, or, I mean, again, one of the things I'm trying to get us to do more as we preach and teach and get people as they're listening to try and put ourselves in the context of the moment. I mean, that's hard to do sometimes. It's hard to do in the sense of, okay, we're not on an island on Patmos being exiled for our faith.
Right.
We're not at this little, we're not in this church in whatever they were meeting in, somebody's home, most likely in Ephesus, where they're having to deal with all of the things that they were dealing with as well. But we can relate to it in the sense of the feeling and the heart behind what's being shared at that point. And so remember when what you did at first, you know, when you struggle, go back to times when you knew God moved, when you felt like hearing God or sensing God was quote unquote easy, instead of just being robotic. I mean, and just doing your motions, praying for something to break, because it's not, as I talked about, and as we need to picture, and we talked about this yesterday, you know, God is walking among us in our church all the time. That's the picture that he shares with us in Revelation 1. So it's not like he doesn't know. It's not like he doesn't see. Doesn't like he doesn't hear. It's not that he ran away. It's just that we're doing something else. And so, I mean, we went to the same seminary. I often reflect back on times when I had a great time experience in seminary. A lot of people didn't. My Krista and I, that's not how it worked for us. Some of our closest friends on the planet are still our closest friends on the planet to this day. And so, man, I remember just being there and being a sponge and serving. I mean, and I was interning and I was mowing grass and serving the church and serving at the school and other roles. And you're just having God just move and speak. And it reminds you of why you love him and that he still loves you. He's not hiding that stuff. That's what it means to remember. Remember when you were on fire? Why are you not that way now? That's a very difficult question. You know when you were on fire for God and you're not now. And then you have to ask yourself why.
Well, and it becomes routine, you know, and it's not rare for your faith to become routine. And it's, I mean, just like your marriage, it's not rare for marriage to become routine of, you know, at once you were vibrantly in love and excited, and then you kind of become roommates, you know. You know, that's not rare. You have to do the work to remind yourself of that first love. And it makes, again, like, it makes total sense. If it makes total sense for us in regular life, right, in relationships, well, we're in a relationship with Jesus. And so, and, you know, as we continue to march through these seven churches, I think people would argue that Revelation, the book of Revelation, is really inaccessible. It's tough to understand. Mm-hmm. It's hard to relate to, you know, all of those things. But at the end of the day, it's very practical, you know, because all of us can fit into the molds of these churches. And speaking of which, we're entering into another church this Sunday. Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about where we're headed this coming Sunday.
This Sunday, we're going to the next one, and we'll be in Smyrna. And it's not about love. It's about being faithful in the midst of difficulty. And I'll say it again Sunday, but how can you not avoid this? You're the church in Smyrna. There is no criticism of this church. None. In fact, even in my notes, I do a strike through for the criticism part in the note so that people see it. There's, because there is none. And but Jesus says this. This is I know your deeds, you're going through a really hard time, but it's about to get worse. And it's to test you. Now, you're a good church. You're a small town, Smyrna, smaller than Ephesus, small little church. You're doing well. You're doing your thing. But it is a very Rome loyal church. And you're worshiping Jesus as God, not the emperor. And that's causing you a lot of trouble and persecution. But you're still going through it. It's already hard. You're ostracized. You're economically suffering in your own home and everything else. And then Jesus comes and says, yeah, it's bad, but it's going to get worse. And it's to test you. Those are the Smyrna church is a church that we in Western Christendom don't really want to think about or talk, because we just don't. We don't have that life experience to try and connect to this church with. And we don't like the idea of being tested with the idea of persecution being the testing. And he says to be faithful. He tells them, you know, be faithful through it. Satan's the one you're being tested. Satan's the one who's doing all this stuff. And we talked about warfare already this year. I'll touch on that a little bit. But be faithful. I hold the crown of life, because he says, be faithful to the point of death. Which makes you just ask the question, is my faith that faithful?
Yeah. I mean, that reminds me of, you know, I know it's a typical marriage passage. It's amazing how God ordained that. You know, as we think of, okay, husbands love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Okay, well, what does that entail? Okay, well, what that means is you're supposed to love your wife to the point where you would give of your very life so that way she could be made holy before right. the Father. Like, that's a very deep love. And in that one verse, that's so powerful. That love is sacrificial. And faith and love go hand in hand. Like, you can't truly love someone if you are not faithful to them. I'm looking forward to it. I think that, again, you know, so now faith, hope, and love exist, these three, but the greatest of these is love. You know, right. We're really getting into all of those. And this love letter from God, as you get ready for Valentine's Day, remember the greatest love story. And that's the pursuit and love that God has for you. And he has been and will always be faithful to us. It is us that loses faith. And that doesn't have to be the case. You don't have to stay there. So,
right. And, you know, it really practically, as we live out life, what's God, I try and do, how do we deal with hard times now? Maybe not persecution to the degree, but we can take this down to, like, when you're having a hard year, hard time, we all go through these seasons. Solomon's very current Ecclesiastes. There are seasons in life, and there are seasons when God is working and the means he's using to work is hard and difficult. And how are you going to handle them? And how should we handle them? And which takes you, and I'll talk, you know, it talks to Romans 8:28. God works all things together for the good of those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. I mean, in the simplest terms, we either believe that or we don't. Even taking our own self-induced choices that cause pain and using them for our good, that's what God does. Mm-hmm. And so we have to be able to walk through that and remain faithful no matter what. You and I both know enough people in our world and in our lifetime who are passionate Jesus first people. And 15 years later, when times got tough, they abandoned the faith. They abandoned church. They abandoned the things that they did at first to go from the Ephesus church. When it got hard, they were thorny soil. And they were life choked out their conviction. And Jesus doesn't want that for his church. Jesus is going to be faithful to his church until he comes and gets his church. That's right. Scripturally clear. He's asking for us who are his children and his brothers and sisters to do the same for him, because the choice is what? I mean, we die. Where do we go? Heaven.
Right.
All right. So the altar. Okay. So you get to take the case of Smyrna. You get thrown in prison. You get martyred for your faith. Well, where are you going? You're going to heaven. Is that that's a crucible of faith that is a mature thing to try and get to.
Right.
That we have to understand.
Yeah, it's definitely a crucible. That's a good word. So, I mean, we're looking forward to it. We're excited to have you here going through a book of the Bible that not many go through as a church. And so there's definitely value in it. It's wildly practical, so important. And it's the last letter, last letter that we have in Scripture.
Yep.
And hopefully we heed its words. So I'm really looking forward to this Sunday. And hey, if you haven't realized this, we're live. So we've started to do this live, kind of like our youth podcast. This is live. And so it's been cool to kind of see a couple of you watching this live. Obviously we'll put it all together and put the music on it and the bumpers and all the things, but join us for this time. I've seen a couple of people have commented here, so thank you for those that are actually watching live. And if you're watching later or listening later, this is the Looking Both Ways podcast. This really is a resource for you in the middle of your week to help you persevere, even especially if you can't make it to tonight to join us on Wednesday nights. So thank you again, Pastor Rich, for your time.
Absolutely.
Really looking forward to continuing to work through this this week and next week as I get to talk about Pergamum and all of these places, and maybe ask the question, if God was going to have John write a letter to our church, what would that letter say? Maybe we can think of that, chew on that throughout the rest of your week.
That's a tough question to ask yourself, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So again, we hope you have a great rest of your week. We hope to see all of you tonight, whether it's for Rooted or for adult Bible study or for students at 6:30. We look forward to seeing you all here. Let's fill this place, fill this parking lot with worship in the middle of your week. We're excited to have you all. And otherwise, we will see you all on Sunday. My name is Pastor Tim, alongside Pastor Rich. We hope you all have a great, great rest of your week, and we'll catch you next time.
See you Sunday.